If you're in your car right now, I hope that your cell phone is out of reach. The Washington State Patrol and King County Sheriff's Office have extra patrols in place this week to crack down on distracted driving. They're focusing on the use of cell phones, but let's face it, phones are not the only things that distract us when we drive. Dr. Beth Ebell is a doctor at Harborview Medical Center, and she's an expert on distracted driving. She says anything that takes your attention off the road or your hands off the steering wheel can be dangerous.
We've all been driving around and seen that driver next to you eating their breakfast cereal from a bowl or putting on their mascara, and those are risky. The worst things we see are those which combine cognitive, visual, and manual distraction.
Well, what about if I'm driving and I turn to talk to my passenger, or if Aretha Franklin comes on my car radio and I start singing? How distracting is that?
Relatively little distraction comes from talking to a passenger under most conditions. Talking to a passenger does not convey a lot of risk for adult drivers with their passengers, but where it is risky are for younger drivers with young passengers. There's something about that teen in the car which does not promote careful judgment for a driver learning new skills. And that's why we have laws that limit teen passengers for new drivers. The trouble with learning to drive is that it's a complicated task, and so the driver has to integrate all the information coming from the road, navigation, and the friends. The other day, one of my kids was with me in the car and said, "Look at this website on my phone, Mom." And she's just young. She's not of driving age yet, but she's not really thinking through the fact that it wouldn't be in my best interest on the highway to turn and look at her phone. So I make that decision and use this as a learning opportunity. But a new teen, the temptation is the same behavior that you practice all day long in your regular life, is to go look at the website. So it's teen passengers together with those teen drivers who already are trying to learn complicated tasks. That's the challenge. But for you and me, having a passenger in the car is low risk and, in fact, can be helpful. And what you know with a passenger, you know, when you're a passenger in the car, you are looking out the windshield too. We've probably been in those situations with somebody who's not the world's greatest driver. And when that happens, you find yourself restricting what you're saying when you know that person needs to merge or make a driving decision. So the passenger also has their eyes and experience to contribute to the driving risk. And likewise, Aretha Franklin, for one, we should all listen to Aretha Franklin, or KUOW. But the radio is a low-risk activity in the car.
I'm wondering, you know, I have seen people putting on mascara. I've seen people shaving in their cars. If I were somebody who put on mascara or shaved while I drove, what would be happening inside my brain?
It's a great question. Part of your brain is focusing on the task that you're doing. And when you put somebody in an MR machine to look at a picture of the brain, what's going on functionally when driving, if you give that person a cognitive task, such as sending a text message or talking on the phone, you can see the visual impact of that distraction on the driver's behavior. So if you're waiting to turn left and I have you talking on the phone at the same time or trying to text, you are going to have a hard time gauging the speed of the car coming at you. You're going to make mistakes. And you can just see that part of your brain, which was meant to be directing its attention on the complicated calculations of driving, is instead focused on a secondary task. And in addition, when you're shaving, you know, you're stretching your neck or you're looking into your eyes, you may be looking forward but not seeing what's in front of you. And lastly, your hands are tied up.
Why is it that that you see a shift in our brain? Why can't we do two things at the same time, multitask?
Our brains are set up to do one task at a time and then to switch from task to task. So when people say they're a multitasker, nobody is a multitasker. They really are able to switch attention from one task to another. But that takes some time every time that attention is shifted. And the sorts of decisions you have to make in driving come very quickly. So really, driving is not a task that lends itself to this attention switching. It really requires your focused attention to the task.
Is there something different between the task of you know, putting on mascara or talking on the phone? Are they equally distracting when you're driving?
They're both risky and significantly distracting. And I think the only difference there is that folks can send a text through a lot of their visits or a lot of their time in the car. When we did a study of Washington drivers, we found that 1 out of 10 drivers at every moment was engaged with their cell phone, either texting or talking. And the latest study that we had about 2/3 of those drivers were texting. So it's a more common problem, but that doesn't mean I'm recommending anyone putting on mascara in the car. You shouldn't do it.
What happens in terms of distraction when I see somebody else texting in the car next to me or the car coming at me? Is that equally distracting as doing the act of texting?
No, because you're focused and scanning on what's around you, which is great. It lets you avoid that driver. And I think we're all getting to be a little bit more defensive. You know, when you see, when you're at that four-way stop and you're waiting for that person to go, they don't go, you realize that that person is probably looking at their phone, and they may just look up and go without looking side to side. But I think for all of us, it's annoying and troublesome, and I think we're really getting pushed to say, what can we do to reduce distraction?
And that question, what can we do to reduce distraction, I imagine is what was behind a bill that was introduced in the legislature earlier this year that would expand the distracted driving laws to include things like checking email, posting on Facebook, or doing anything except, you know, looking at that GPS on your dashboard. That law did not pass, but is that actually what we need, an all-inclusive law like this?
I think that's one of the critical steps that we need to reduce the risk to all of us on the road. This bill would have done something that I think most sensible people would agree with. It's not safer for you to be checking your stock portfolio or reading your email than it is to be sending a text message. So just because Washington law was written back in the time when we had flip phones doesn't mean we don't need to evolve to keep up with technology. And likewise, activities going on at stop signs and intersections are not safer. That's when lots of critical decision-making happens in the car. You know, but that being said, I think it's not necessarily the best idea to try to legislate every latte that someone's drinking. With legislation, we ought to focus on what we know are the biggest problems that affect lots of people. They're common, they're risky, and we have a solution. And that's why the State Patrol and the legislature have focused on cell phone use, because it's a significant part of distraction. There is nobody who can text and drive safely. Nobody thinks it's okay to be eating a bowl of cereal while you're driving to school, you know, or driving to work. You know it, so just don't do it. But the cell phone piece is so prevalent and so common. You and I see this every day. That is something that does rise to the level of needing a more of a public health approach.
Beth Ebell is a physician at Harborview Medical Center, and she's an expert on distracted driving.